Next week, we will finish Joshua, or Jeremiah, whichever one. Wherever we are, we'll finish it up, okay? So this week, we've got Joshua 23. This is the second part about commissioning the people. Joshua 23. So like I said, we'll have this week, next week, and then we've got the July 4th. We'll have to have a special Patriots message, and then Brent's going to preach on the 11th. We'll go into Ephesians after that. All right, Joshua 23. Now, last week, remember we talked about Joshua's farewell address, okay, and how important it is for the person's life at the end, or a leader, what they say to the people at the end, and the three areas that we were to listen to. Are we going to have a quiz? No. Is be very courageous, remember? Hold fast to the Lord and love the Lord. Those three things. The theme in the whole chapter, though, revolves around verse 7. So let's read verse 7. Well, I'll start with 6. Okay, therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And remember that very courageous was God told Joshua that the first chapter, 4 times. He said, be courageous or very courageous. Lest ye turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest ye go among the nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. So the theme in that whole chapter revolves around verse 7, apostasy. That's what he's warning against, apostasy. And if you look in verse 16 also, picks it up, and it says, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. So, if you also look, of all books, Jeremiah 13:10, part of the two faces of pride is, one of the faces is apostasy. Okay, so you can look that up if you want, Jeremiah 13:10. So what are the three results of leaving the Lord and going back to the pig mire? Well, he's got them all listed here, and they're all in verse 13 and also in 16. So let's read that. What are the results of leaving the Lord and making apostasy? First thing, verse 13. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes. That sounds like fun. Until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So he's basically saying, if you go back to the remnant of these nations in verse 12, and you go back and you make marriages with them and go with them, this is what's going to happen. So three things, okay? Three results of leaving the Lord and going back into apostasy. One is the loss of his presence, verse 13. Loss of his presence. Second thing is persecution from the foes, verse 13b. And the final thing, number 3, is perish. You're going to perish off the land, verse 13 and 16. So yes, we got the three P's, and I got a poem if you want to. But the loss of his presence, the persecution from the foes or your enemies, and perishing off the land. Those are the three things. So the loss of his presence, first thing. In Deuteronomy 1:42, it says, I will no longer drive out these nations before you. I will no longer drive out these nations before you. Tell them not to go up and fight, for I am not with them anymore, lest they be defeated. So why? Why? Why did God say, my presence isn't with you anymore? Don't go up and fight, because I'm not with you. And if you remember that, you know, they were going into land and they grumbled and murmured. And the Lord said, finally, that's it. You know, you're going to wander for 40 years because my presence is not with you. If the Holy Spirit left most of the churches, do you think anybody would notice? You know, his presence is really, really important, obviously. I am not amongst you. That is a judgment. And when we leave that, or the Holy Spirit leaves, because, you know, the Holy Spirit's a dove. And how quickly is a dove represented as a dove, okay? But how quickly is a dove spooked? You ever get up next to a dove? Or even like one of those pigeons, you know? It's just like, boom, they fly away. For I am not amongst you, lest they be defeated. Why? Well, if you look in Deuteronomy 1 and 32, it says they did not believe. In verse 27, they murmured in their tents. I always like doing that. Everybody say murmur at the same time. Murmur. Come on, say it. Murmur, murmur, murmur. That's what the Lord hears. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Next, in verse 26, this is all in Deuteronomy 1, by the way, and we'll go back over these. They did not believe, verse 32. They murmured in their tents, verse 27. They rebelled against the Lord's command, verse 26. They discouraged or melted the hearts of the brethren, verse 28. They misrepresented God's character, verse 27. Why was he not amongst them? That's why. All those things. So the first thing is doubt and unbelief. They did not believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How much faith? Mustard seed. That's right. Tony has these cards that have the mustard seed and has how big a mustard seed is. It's not very big. Not very big. How much do we trust God? What's the outward signs of us, of our trust? How would you measure God's trust? Finances, health, safety, all those kind of things. How much do we really trust God? And how do you measure that? How do you measure trust? I know we have that equation. Integrity plus consistency over time is trust. But really, you can take out your checkbook and see if you trust the Lord. That's one area, right? Tony and Rose, many years ago, we had a thing about pray first and then use the aspirin. And how long does the aspirin bottle last? You know, I have, sorry to say, I reach for the aspirin first. You know, give me a couple of Tylenol or whatever. And they were like, let's pray first before we use the aspirin. And how long does that aspirin bottle last? Well, we had an aspirin bottle for years, right? When we first got saved, and it was like, it was there for years. It probably expired, actually. The aspirin's expired. But pray first. That shows trust. All right, number two, murmured in their tents. Complain, complain, complain. And I know that means murmured in their tents, their physical tents, because they were all camping in the wilderness. But this is a tent, too. Your body's a tent. That's it. They murmured in their tents. And he questioned God's goodness. And he says he got angry when they murmured and complained. Psalm 142:2, pour out your complaints before the Lord. So pour them out to the Lord, not about the Lord. How's the wristbands doing? How are we all doing with our wristbands? That was to remind us not to complain, right? It's a very important thing. I mean, more and more I see that. And it's like, I'll get around somebody that's like critical and arguing and this and that. And I'm like, gosh. And then I say, am I like that? And my wife's like, it's like, that doesn't sound good. She goes, very quiet, just shakes her head. So they murmured in their tents and complained. Because basically complain says, I don't trust God and I don't think he's in control. And this stinks. So, They murmured in their tents. Third thing, they rebelled against the Lord. Okay, they rebelled against the Lord. That's in verse 26 in Deuteronomy 1. Thy way or my way? Is it easier to ask for forgiveness than to do the right thing in the first time? Now, come on, we have a forgiving God, right? And we know that he's long-suffering and merciful and kind, and it's easier for us to go ahead and do something and ask for forgiveness than it is to do the thing the right first time. So sin will take you farther than you want to go, in places where you don't want to go, and linger longer than you wish to be. Recently, we had an arrest. Sometimes I'm riding along and, you know, I'm part of a time that they'll arrest somebody or they have a warrant for somebody, right? And this kid had found, quote unquote, a gas card, okay? Corporate gas card. So if you find a gas card, what do you do with it?
Well, you use it, of course, right?
Problem is, the corporate gas card was the same company that his girlfriend's father worked for. So, you know, you had a good out first when you start and just go, you know, I found this. Get out of it quick, even if you did take it. Well, he didn't. And he spent over $2,000 in gas. And when we went over to arrest him, I was sitting there. I mean, I'm just, you know, the chaplain, you know, if anybody wants confession before they go to jail, I guess. But I asked him, I said, why didn't you turn it in? Why did you use it? And this is what he said. And this is really insightful. He says, it just got easier as I used it more. It just got easier as I used it more. That's what sin is, you know. Do you listen to the first little hint of guilt, good guilt of you shouldn't do that, or you just keep doing it and it gets easier and easier and easier and easier and easier? So it got easier as I used it more. Number four, it says that they discourage the brethren. We're supposed to encourage one another as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. You know where that's from? The book of Hebrews. Don't forsake the assembling together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. So where are you supposed to encourage one another? In the assembly. Too many do TV church, or they meet with God out in the evergreens, or they play on the outer courts of tennis, or they make burnt offerings of toast on Sunday morning, or they commune with the nature channel, right? Jesus says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Because this thing is supposed to be encouraging one another as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. I think since Michael was here, I think he gave us all a little shot in the arm. Because it was nice to hear it from somebody else. And it's been very sobering. And, you know, I mean, we could talk about coming to church and what church and this. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, don't forsake the assembling, because that's what it says. And the propensity to do that would be what? As is a habit of some in the last days. And so you see that. And it's like for 2 hours once a week that we get to see one another, aside from emails and talking and whatever, that you physically get to see people, you pray for people, you see how they're doing, whatever. That's all he says. Don't make it a habit. As is a habit of some. People miss, you know, get sick, whatever, that's fine. But it's a habit. How many people do you know that don't go to church anymore? Somebody got offended. Somebody got hurt. Whatever. If all of us didn't go because we got hurt, none of us would be here. Forget it. So discouraging the brethren. The next one, they misrepresented God's character. Okay? They misrepresented God's character because in verse 27 in Deuteronomy 1, it says, he did this because he hates us. He brought us out into the wilderness because he hates us. And that's when he said, that's it. So it's a misrepresentative of his character. Do you remember Exodus 34? It's the first time that God reveals to Moses his character. His character needs to be reflected in our character. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's loving. I mean, all that Exodus 34, that's all. He explains himself, who he is. I've used this before. Thomas Cooley, sociologist, had the looking glass self theory. And this is the looking glass self theory. The most important thing that you think about yourself is what the most important person in your life thinks about you. And, you know, Tony, sometimes in the office, she'll say, who's the most important person? And right out of the mouth of everybody, because they know exactly the right thing to say, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Really? And why are you acting that way? What are we reflecting to the world? Loving, kind, gentle, long-suffering, hating evil, no compromise. That's what God is. What you behold holds you. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, right? What you behold holds you. So they misrepresented God's character and said, he hates us, and that's why he brought us out here, where he was saving their skin. I mean, how's that working for you? Working 7 days a week, making pyramids? Is that fun? No. The last thing in this grouping is persecution from the foes. Okay. Now, this is what he mentioned in verse 16. Okay? I'm sorry, not verse 16. Up in verse 13. No longer drive out these nations. They will be snares and traps and scourges and thorns in your eyes. Snares, traps, scourges, and thorns. Oh my. Three things God uses to get the attention of a wayward nation. The ecology, the economy, and their enemies. Those are the three things that the Lord uses. Deuteronomy 28. Where it talks about the blessings and the curses. In verse 47, it says, you will serve your enemies in hunger, thirst, nakedness, and need of everything. I will put a yoke of iron on you until you are destroyed. So how's our ecology doing? Not very good. We prayed for the Gulf this morning. They're going to evacuate 2/3 of the people out of there. Those tar balls are showing up in Cuba now, and they're starting to go up and around Florida. When you've got 100,000 barrels of oil a day dumping into there, that's not Paul Bunyan knocking over and spilling something. We are no longer the head like we were of the nations after World War II. We've become the debtor nation and the tail to those who we are indebted to. And therefore, our economy is also suffering. So finally, after the loss of his presence, the persecution by the enemy, and it says the third thing is that perish off the land. That which he gave, he can surely take back. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty. I mean, we'll sing those songs in a couple weeks with July 4th. Disgrace is the ultimate effect of apostasy. It robs us of our dignity in Christ. Do you think we've left the Lord in our country? Yeah. And you know what? If you read a quote, I don't remember who it was from because I just read it the other day. It's Finney. Charles Finney says, the country goes bad, it's from the pulpit. The economy goes bad, it's from the pulpit. He did. He put it all on the preachers. Because we're responsible to preach the word of God. And the people listen, and the people respond. And if the word of God's not preached, the people are going to go wayward, and so is the nation. Everybody says, well, it's because of this and because of that, and it's because of this politician. No, it's not. It's because the church didn't do what they were supposed to do. The church ran and hid and was not the salt and the light. So we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. And who can turn it around? If my people will confess their sins and seek my face, I'll heal their land. It didn't mean your little acreage, you know, in your backyard. It meant the land that you live on. Well, let's not leave it just with all these horrible, his presence is gone, perish off the land, persecution of the enemy. How about three safeguards against apostasy? What do you do to guard against apostasy? First thing is obedience. Obedience. Verse 6. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Keep and do. Obedience. That's the first thing. So go back to obeying the Lord, what he told you to do. You know, the good is the enemy of the best. If the Lord tells you to do something, then do it. If the Lord even has a godly person tell you to do otherwise, you got to check and see. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors, okay? But you have to know what the Lord wants you to do and follow it and do it. Because there's a story, I think it's in the book of Kings, of this young prophet who was told by the Lord to go deliver a message and do not tarry and do not stop any place, but come right back. So he went and delivered the message, I think it was a king in the Old Testament. And then on the way back, it's late, and this old prophet told him, come on, stay at my place, it's late. And he says, no, the Lord told me to go straight home. And he says, it's late. He says, I've got some food here for you. Come on in here. So what did he do? He listened to the old prophet, stayed with him. Next morning, he got up, and on his way, he got eaten by a lion. Now you're like, that's pretty harsh. Well, who's the lion? Satan. Maybe they like to feed in the morning. I don't know. That's my God told him just to go straight forward, but he didn't. He listened to an old prophet and didn't listen to what the Lord wanted him to do. So you need to be obedient to what the Lord shows you. Number 2, separation. Verse 7. Lest ye go among the nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. Separate yourself. Don't have anything to do with the nations whom he disposed. Come out from amongst them. Jesus' prayer in John 17. Don't take them out of this world, but to be kept from the evil one. Okay? So Jesus' prayer, the high priestly prayer in John 17 is, don't take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil one. Keep them in the midst of the world. So you're going to go run to, you know, the desert fathers and separate yourself from the world? Well, I guess that can work for a while. But it really means to get the world out of your heart and don't set yourself on that. Separate yourself from the worldly things. Because worldliness equals playing at Christianity. You know, I can have a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and I can still say I'm good. I'm all in. And finally, so you got obedience, safeguards against apostasy, obedience, separation, and the third thing is devotion to God. Verse 11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Take heed to love God and remember the good things that he spoke. All came to pass. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. possess him and you will be possessed by him. You want to be possessed by a spirit? Be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Truth without love is harshness. Love without truth is sloppy agape. Truth and love is Christ-likeness. Okay? Truth without love is harshness. Love without truth is sloppy agape, sloppy love. And truth in love is being Christ-like. So, what precaution, let's look at application here. What precautions are you utilizing so as not to backslide? We won't even call it apostasy because it's like, well, I'm not going to apostate. Well, how about backslide? What precautions are you utilizing so as not to backslide? Devotions? Huh? You can be devoted to your devotions instead of be devoted to the person that your devotions are around. You know, I used to do that. I read my 10 chapters a day. Big deal. I mean, I know where things are in the Bible, but big deal. How about not entering into ungodly environments? Living a biblical worldview. You know what that is? It means everything you see through, you know, if you, people have glasses, right? That's your viewfinder, basically. You see everything through those glasses. You see everything through a biblical worldview. I'll be writing one out on the board on Tuesday because that whole ethics class that I'm going to teach is summed up in one word, worldview. All philosophy, all that stuff is nothing more than somebody's worldview of how they see their world. Or do you have a biblical worldview? Do you have a New Age worldview? Do you have your own Chinese Christianity, we call it? One from column A, two from column B, and I make my own meal? No. That's your worldview. How do you see your world? If it's through the biblical scriptures, you're doing all right. If it's through a little bit of this and a little bit of this philosophy, and Abraham Lincoln said this, and Joseph Smith said this, and so-and-so said this, then it's going to be based on that. Okay? So three safeguards. Obedience to the Lord. Do all, keep and do. See, keep and do all that is written in the book of the law. Separation, separating yourself in your heart first. Don't have anything to do with these nations. Why? Because he disposed them. He disposed them for a reason. He didn't get rid of them and said, here, come on, come back in with them. Because they took the heart of Israel away from God. And your devotion to God. Take heed to love your Lord and remember the good things that he spoke. And you'll be pretty safe just doing those. Okay? All right. Put your Bibles aside. Chapter 24 next week, the conclusion of a holy life. And then we'll be done. It only took a year. All right. Well, let's pray, and we'll pass the offering baskets around, and then your men can listen to their manly music on the way home. Father, thank you for this time that we get to spend. Let us chew on this today, Lord. Apostasy is a bad word. We think of, you know, mainline churches and people that have once walked with the Lord and walked away as apostasy. But Lord, what about in our hearts? We don't want to lose your presence. We don't want to have persecution from the foes, and we don't want to perish off the good things, the good land that you gave us. And so we just really pray, Lord. We pray about obedience to your word, to keep and to do. One thing about keeping it is another thing about doing it. Separation, not having anything to do with the nations, the influences, the ethos, the philosophies, the empty philosophies of the world. And then also our devotion, that we need to take heed and love you and remember the good things that you spoke to us, take you at your word, behold you so that you can hold us. Because I think we'd all say you're the most important person in our lives, but how about with skin on, Lord? I mean, who's that most important person? Do we act accordingly? What are we reflecting to the world, Lord? Take away the anger, take away the impatience, take away the perversions, take away the cunning, and give us love and kindness and gentleness and long-suffering and hating evil and not to compromise with this world, Lord. Help us to learn from Joshua as he addressed the people that he went through 40 years in the wilderness with, Lord. I always think that's amazing, and not to become bitter because other people made you walk for 40 years wandering. So bless our tithes and offerings, Lord. Thank you so much that we all have jobs. And Lord, we look forward to even having good times together, Lord, like on the jet boats and camping this summer. Help us to really enjoy one another's company. In Jesus' name, amen.